Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Alex Beck, and joining us on the show is Ben Watson from Total Fit Brighton out of Brighton, UK. That's United Kingdom, by the way, for all of my US listeners out here. I appreciate you, Ben. What's going on? How are you doing today?
Hey, Alex. Great to be here. Yes, everything's really good. Excited for the podcast.
Yes, sir. I'm excited to have you on, and I appreciate you, you know, giving some of your time out of that busy gym owner life to be here with us. What time is it over there in the UK? Just curious.
It is 2:15, so a lovely lull in the day to chat to you.
There we go. Awesome, awesome. 6 a.m. for me over here.
Oh, wow. Oh, sorry about that.
No worries.
We'll be quick and you can go back to bed.
No, I just had a daughter a year and a half ago, actually, and she wakes up super early. So now at this point in my life, I have to wake up at 4 a.m. if I want to be productive or beat her awake. So I've been up for a while now. But yeah, let's not waste any time here. How did you get started? What is it that made you want to start with opening your own fitness facility?
How did I get started? Pretty long story. So I was at the University of Sussex studying international development.
Okay.
And I got the opportunity to go set up a gym off the coast of Yemen, between Yemen and Somalia, as a kind of development project. And I did it, and it was made a little YouTube clip. It was awesome. Building a sustainable business out there. And this Total Fit, this organization, got in contact after they saw it and were like, hey, we do holistic coaching. We see that you set up a gym here. Would you be interested in, you know, working with us? And at the time I was studying international development, and I was like, I thought fitness was kind of just like a hobby, because I love training, but didn't have any qualifications. And so what I did, I kind of pivoted and I wrote my thesis on the role of physical leisure time in health, and then started doing all my qualifications, you know, my strength and conditioning, my personal training, and spent some time with them working overseas in China, Ethiopia, training coaches, and then had the idea of like, what would it look like to use this new holistic training model in a gym? And so we set up Total Fit Brighton in Brighton.
There we go. I love it. So it was very natural progression for you, correct? You were going to college, to university, and then you ended up starting your own gym in Yemen, helping someone start a gym. And now you have your own Total Fit in Brighton.
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. Awesome. So I would love for you to give your own elevator pitch of Total Fit Brighton and the services that you guys offer.
Okay. So we at Total Fit Brighton, we focus on getting results. And we do that through small group training, PT, nutrition, and online coaching. And we just, all of that caveated, we believe in holistic training. So we believe that you've got to be fit in your body, your mind, and your spirit in order to be happy.
I love it. So you guys are doing private training, some semi-private. You even do some nutrition online. And this is all very holistic based. How many members are you currently serving right now?
So we have just over 100 members. So it's a nice little community.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's where we're sitting at the moment.
There you go. And how big is the actual facility?
So it's not massive. So it's about 100, but two spaces. So a little small group class area and then a one-to-one studio as well. So just floor space without toilets and hallways and stuff. I think it's like 160 meters squared.
160 meters. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And I do always like to ask, so you are sitting at 100 members right now, is that a number that you guys want to stop at, or are you trying to hit the gas right now and see some new faces?
Yeah, so we pushed up to 100. It was a big, like, it was like a target to get to. Okay. But we find our ceiling is now just a staffing issue, you know, developing the staff to be able to coach more hours. So we know we work best when we could work on the business. I'm sure as many business owners know. And right now we're doing a lot of coaching, which we love, but it means we're plateauing. In order to grow, we need to develop some full-time staff other than me and my wife.
Yeah, no. And that's a very good observation of you, because it's true, especially when you're training so much, right? You're talking to so many people face to face. It gets draining. Burnout is real, right? So when you look at training staffing, what's like the number one, or maybe just a list of couple things that are really important to you for your staff to know, to train your staff for?
Yeah, so I think we take an approach where we're really, first of all, looking at character. So is the first of all, are they empathetic? You know, do they have that relational where they, you know, they care about people, they'll love the members that come through the door. And that's number one. So I'll pick that over any degree in sports science or any personal training for qualification, because I can train people, you know, in how to clean and jerk, or, you know, how to do a handstand press up, but I can't teach them to be empathetic. You know, you can encourage them, but so that's the big character 100% first. And then in our development of them, it's just, is that confidence, you know, to deliver continually in how they deliver themselves, coaching, their skills and everything that comes on that. So looking for character and then training them in whatever area is weaker. So normally that's just experience in coaching, really. So, you know, shadowing them and just helping them be the best they can be.
Okay. Okay. And what's the plan for you and the wife? Let's say you do get, you know, a couple more coaches in tomorrow. Are you guys planning on still growing the business? Do you want to start a second location? Do you have other things you're working on?
Yeah. So me, my wife, we love, you know, competing in CrossFit and stuff. So until kick the bucket. So we're like 20, 26 now. So for a couple more years, you know, enjoy pushing ourselves physically. And then also relaunch back into like the media side. So relaunch our podcast and stuff like that, and push that. And then also help other gyms, you know, in terms of, this has been like a real flagship in terms of how do you do whole life coaching in a group setting. You know, it's often happens one-to-one, but does it work in a small groups? And yeah, we found that it does. So now it's helping other gyms do the same thing. So like consulting.
And something that that I noticed as well, you know, just after talking with so many gym owners, noticing a lot of them try to push more into that holistic small group type of training. So really smart for you guys to do that. Let's see. So you barely started a couple years ago here, right before COVID. So it's kind of been an uphill growth for you from then. What type of things were you doing to aid that growth process to get some new members coming in through the door?
Well, to be honest, Alex, we probably did everything wrong at the beginning. No. Everyone does. Yeah. So you have your prices too low. You're going to the wrong clients. So a big thing, we just kept hustling at the beginning. You know, you online, like I come from a rugby background. Okay. I don't know if you have that in America. So coaching is kind of like the better version of American football. So
we can debate on that one.
Yeah, we could debate. Maybe that'll be another podcast. And so we were coaching rugby, so doing their like strength and conditioning. And so when lockdown hit, we lost all the university athletes because there was no sport. And so we pivoted to kind of like group coaching, so like health instead of performance. And we kind of had to build up the market, you know, our clients from there. And so it was a case of being, you know, in person, then you went with a lockdown back online, in person, back online. And it just helped us. We grew, we did Zoom classes. So we had like everyone took home a kettlebell online and we just grew from there. And then what really helped us grow was we got a little bit of funding from the university and we put it into a marketing company who trade us in sales. Because the big thing, we just didn't know how to sell.
Yeah.
Like, you know, someone would call me and I'll be like, you want to join? Like, these are the money, like prices. And they taught us how to sell and how to know our value. And that was a game changer.
Yeah.
So that was a big boom. We started to know how to sell and how to, you know, to convert our leads that were coming in. Mm-hmm. And that took us far. And then we got some more money as we kept growing and we invested that in another mentorship program. And that just, in terms of systems building, saving us from making so many mistakes, because there's no point making your own mistakes when someone's made them already.
Right.
And that is how we were just able to really push quite quickly from 50 to 100 members. and yeah, and focus on our target market and know our avatar and be clear with our value and what we offer. And so, yeah, so that's been a big journey.
Yeah. And so you are sitting at, and I like your perspective on sales too, right? A lot of gym owners don't real, or they have a bad stigma towards sales, right? Or being too salesy. But it takes a second to realize, or maybe it's a hard pill to swallow when you have to realize you have to be good at sales, right? As a gym owner. And part of changing people's lives is being able to sell them into your program. So it's a weird correlation, but so you are sitting at 100 members right now. What's been like the main driver to get those members for you? Has it been more of word of mouth? Have you guys done like radio ads, digital ads, Facebook ads?
Yeah. So we, did a number of different things in terms of, so we've had Facebook ads going, and they've been great. And the main thing was just getting the correct like sales script, you know, so phoning leads when they come in immediately, getting them in for consultation, phoning, making sure they turn up for their consultation and making that consultation into a sale. And so just being very focused on a help first basis. Of course, if you're not a good fit, then you point them in a different direction.
Right.
But we're here to help people get fit. And when you know that you can, then you don't, people don't, unless there's a really good reason, they should be joining and signing up because you're the best bet to get them from A to B. So it's quite freeing on that sense. So yeah, so we've been focused on Facebook marketing, and then we really push for referrals. We do like goal setting sessions with every member, and we just encourage if there's anyone else we can help out with. Because at the end of the day, if we're hoping that we're producing results for our members that they want to bring their friends. So we just openly, actively encourage them to do that.
Okay. And so you run ads on Facebook, right? So you run in the actual business manner, like business manager, sorry, Facebook yes. ad campaign.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What type of, just curious here, especially in the UK, right? What type of offers do you guys run, front-facing offers? And you don't have to be 100% transparent, yeah, yeah. right? But just a yeah, general sense.
I think this was one thing that I really had to overcome. Because I just didn't like, I did not like the sales things at the beginning, but I had to understand that you're not, you know, you're offering the people you respond to getting results, not what you do in terms of that. So in terms of, so we do some video stuff occasionally in terms of like, you know, like 6-week transformations or, you know, an on-ramp or Kickstarters just to get people in because you're not asking people to marry you on your first date. You know, you just want to encourage them to come in and have a go. And another thing is just free, no sweat intros. So literally just a consultation for people to come in and for you to chat and to see if you can help them out. So yes, yeah, so that's been a big thing. So just transformations, Kickstarters, you know, short-term things, offers that are not too overwhelming in terms of commitment.
There you go. And so what does your process kind of look like here for when you do get an interested lead? Let's say it is myself, right? I see you guys on Facebook, on Instagram, walking through the door. What's your process to turning me into a paid member?
Yeah, so it depends if it's a cold lead or, you know, a hot lead in terms of it. So if it's someone, you know, if it's a referral or Facebook, take Facebook, for example, there's a lack of, they just see you, you know, they see a funnel or literally fill in some details. They have the least trust in us. You know, they don't know. They might have like looked at our Google reviews or checked out our website. So we want to give them as much trust as possible. So we shoot them, have some emails that go out in terms of just letting them know who we are, some of our member feedback, so they can get a bit of an idea and build trust between them and a rapport. We have a text that goes out, letting them know if they've got any questions or anything, and then some reminders in terms of reminding them to come to their appointment. And then we drop them a call as well to say like, hey, Alex, really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Do you know exactly where we are? Great, I'll just be outside. And then just, can I confirm that there's nothing gonna stop you from meeting me tomorrow because I've got a really busy schedule. And they're like, no, so they'll come. So yeah, just building that rapport, because in the end of the day, there's so much tech stuff. They just see you as a robot. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to break that down and be like, no, it's make it more relational in that process.
Yeah, definitely.
And then into consultation, chat, find out exactly what is the need there, you know, what has stopped them getting to where they want to get to, and then can we play a role as a gym in helping fill that need and taking away that problem? And if we can, great, let's get going. If we can't, then these are some other solutions outside of the gym.
Yeah, and I like your perspective on that. I always tell people that as business owners in the fitness industry, we don't necessarily sell fitness, right? We more so sell a lifestyle. We sell results. Yeah. We sell a route to reach your goals.
Yeah.
So it is interesting seeing that as well. Do you guys, let's see, do you have like your lead nurture automated at your gym, or is that something that you're sending yourself, those texts?
Yeah, we use a really good system called Gym Lead Machine, and it's got every, you know, it's a whole CRM. So that's really helpful.
There you go. There you go.
Because otherwise it's just crazy at the beginning. You know, you just got spreadsheets and text messages going everywhere.
Yeah. And are you focused, or is it part of your focus to teach your other coaches how to sell or how to take part in the sales process?
Yeah, so they're trained up in the sales process. So our three coaches that worked for longer have been trained up in their sales process. Yeah.
There you go.
Just so that when we're away, the business, you know, it wants to run on its own. So that when we're, if we're on holiday or go to a conference, they can keep bringing new members in.
Okay. And I think that's important for you and the wife here, you know, getting this business to a point to where it kind of runs on its own, like a well-oiled machine, right? What are some of those boxes that you have to check off personally so that you could get to that point of being able to take a step away from the business?
I think, yeah. So getting obviously the right people, you know, you've got to have that trust, and there's certain people, they can handle responsibility, or they can be trained to handle responsibility. So getting them in, and then knowing what's expected, having a clear laid out system, you know, what is expected in terms of once they know how to coach a class, okay, what's expected in terms of how the gym is left, what's expected, you know, in terms of the alarm in the system. You can't expect anyone to know what's in your head as a business owner. It needs to be laid out in like a playbook. It's a bit basically like American football playbook. So every step is laid out so they can go back to it, and they know how to do it. So when we were away one time, there was a COVID issue, and they just went to the playbook. Oh, this is what happens when there's a COVID outbreak. Okay, cool. I don't need to text Ben. This is what we do. So getting that playbook in sorted with everything they could ever think of needing, you know, passwords, social media, how many things, everyone's got a playbook to go by.
Awesome. Awesome. And Ben, if you could wave, let's say a magic wand here, right? Let's say a magic business wand and have Total Fit being the exact position that you want it. What would that really look like to you?
Oh, what, Total Fit Brighton?
Total Fit in general, the Brighton, yes.
Have anything, I think, yeah, just, I guess, maybe, okay, you know, in the next year. In the next, so I guess running, that it's running, it's got great staff running in it that I can build there. I really love, one of the reasons I set up business, I love like looking at history with like the Cadbury's factory and seeing how people looked after their workers. Mm. And so I'd love to be able to provide great living and wages for workers, you know, for my coaches, so that they can have a career and they can be blessed to do what they want to do. So it's well funded in terms of, so sitting at 130 members, I think with the average member revenue at £155 per person, would be really nice in terms of that.
There you go. There you go. And what do you think is at least maybe some of the steps or the bottlenecks that's holding you from that point, from being able to pay your team the amount that you want, being able to make, you know, the amount of revenue per customer that you want?
Right now, it's literally just, we've got the lead, everything coming in, because we've got, not from myself, just from our mentors, you know, great systems coming in. We just need the right full-time staff now, because part-time staff have been amazing. Like, we have amazing part-time staff, but you know, when they buy in for like 4 hours of coaching a week and that's it, and they don't have the flexibility with PTs, there's only so much we can grow. So we need really some people to come on board with the vision of what we're trying to do on a full-time basis. So that would be a big step. I know it might sound a little step, but for us, in terms of how you manage full-time staff, other than my wife, or she's the boss. She is the boss. in terms of it, will be the big step. So yeah, so getting those full-time staff.
Yeah, and no, that's totally understandable. I mean, here in the US, no one wants to work. Is that, are you having trouble hiring out there as well?
Not so much hiring. Like, there are people. I think it's just getting
the right candidates,
the right people, you know, the right people in the right seats. And so we've got two people lined up for September, which is good. So a general manager and a coach, we're hoping. So we'll see if it all plays out.
Okay. And Ben, so we know what you want for your business now, right? We know you obviously have a big care towards a holistic approach towards your members, towards the team that you build here. But what is it that you want from the business? What do you want the business to give back to you and your family, you and your wife?
Yeah, I think it's that, you know, that freedom. It's kind of like the last few years building the business, you do feel like a part of you had to sacrifice, you know, in terms of like, I used to, you know, do lots of adventures and different things. And there's a part of you that had to give that up to build something big, you know, just that long lasting consistency. It's like doing strength training. You know, you can't just go into the gym every other week to work on your deadlift. You need to be in there, you know, with the twice, you know, continually building it. And so I would like that freedom back in order to travel, in order to train, and just a platform. I think it's an amazing platform. You know, you've got members that hopefully, you know, you've built that rapport and that respect, and now you can start building like a media, you know, like on a podcast in terms of speaking and developing them. There's so many avenues. Once you've got a platform, you know, someone phoned me today who were interested in building, you know, some more, you know, like a Total Fit gym in London. You have an authority to work from. So I think I'm looking forward to the next stage in terms of like the more challenges, you know, what is outside there. Once I've got a small gym running, what's the next thing? Like the new horizon, like you've got financial backing now. If you want to do film, yeah, okay, you can use the business assets to buy great cameras. You've got that. As before, 2 years ago, when I did a bit more film stuff or media, you know, you didn't, paying for an air flight ticket was like, oh crap, how am I going to pay to the US? As now it's like, oh, you've got this massive engine behind you,
yeah,
that's just pushing you to the next venture. And so that's really exciting.
I love it. And I think that's a pretty good place to start to wrap things up on this episode, Ben. But before we do sign out of here, please give a shout out to your website, Facebook, Instagram, anything, just so the listeners could find some more info on you and your gym.
Yeah, so we're at totalfitbrighton.com. So you get us contact there, and Total Fit Brighton on Instagram and Facebook. And you can just shoot us a message on there and I'll be in touch. And yeah, anytime you're interested in holistic training and want to work, or you want a job, then get in contact and we would love to meet you.
Yes, sir. You guys, make sure you check them out. Ben Watson from Total Fit Brighton out of Brighton, UK. I appreciate you once again, brother. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. As for the listeners, don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you are interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Gym Lords Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Montero, and today we're joined by Mitchell Fisher of OPEC San Antonio in San Antonio, Texas. Mitchell, what's up, man?
Not much. Just having fun. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, brother. Thank you for coming on, spending some time with us, especially on a Friday here. So appreciate that, man. So OPEC, I do like the model. For those that don't know, it's a good model, especially for a trainer, especially those that are interested in like the educational side of coaching, right? So before we get into the model, man, let's go back in time and talk about, you know, why you opened this gym, but more in essence, like, what was your mindset from that business standpoint to go down this road and take this leap into entrepreneurship?
Honestly, to stop worrying about revenues and corporatization of fitness and start worrying about how my clients were progressing. Nice. And okay. Finding an economical model to not only do that for them, where they don't have to pay me $1,000 a month, and create a better lifestyle for myself where I don't have to have 16 sessions in a day to train clientele. That was the main reason to open business for myself. And at, as you alluded to, OPEX is very grounded in education. Every call that I'm on with the other coaches are all based on coaching, not based on like, how many numbers are you bringing in? What's the revenue? What's all that stuff? I came from that corporate world and kind of wanted to pull myself out of it. Sure. Once Gold's Gym got purchased.
Yeah, man. No, I totally get that. And like you said, it gives you some freedom of time, focus on your clients, right? And kind of build them up. So yeah, I love that approach, man. Now with the OPEX model, I know we're usually looking for like a certain square footage as far as like the brick and mortar goes. Talk us through like the thought process behind how you picked your actual space.
The location was the biggest thing for me. I wanted to find a spot off of a major highway. That was literally the only thing we went with my tenant rep. And square footage had to be at least 1500. But we found a space of 2000 square feet. And the goal was to make it look like a functional fitness space, but not like a CrossFit gym. Because I didn't want it to have that feel of everybody's working out on top of each other, which I do enjoy those classes and stuff. But to market the business in the right way, you want to have like separate racks and stations. So 2000 square feet was about the level I thought I could fit 10 to 12 clients in maximum at a time, which would reach our capacity within 5 years. So we can move on to a new spot.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate that breakdown, man. Location is still super important, right? With the gym business, so people can get to us easily. I think people drive like, well, like at the max 7 miles from their home or work to come to the gym. So obviously super important. Now, Mitchell, for those that don't know, you know, obviously the model of our business is super important to be successful. Break us down like OPEX model. For those listeners that don't know what you guys do.
Yeah, it's individual design. So what that means is all of my clients or all of my members are personal training clients of mine. And they get to do their workout in a group setting and still get that camaraderie of a functional fitness gym, like a CrossFit gym. But they pay individually and they're individually designed. They come in with their workout loaded on our app, which is CoachRx, which is now our OPEX branded style of True Coach. And they come in with that workout, write it down on the whiteboard, ask any questions, get the intent of the workout, put that whiteboard up at their station and get their workout done. That allows us to do also check-ins periodically and create autonomous clients as the ultimate goal. So if I have a bunch of autonomous clients able to execute their workout by themselves with a little bit of coach guidance, I'm able to also check up on everybody monthly for about an hour at a time to reassess their goals, realign all their lifestyle and fitness, and get them to their goals much easier.
So you guys are doing check-ins on a cadence with your clients in person, face-to-face, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's obviously good too for the retention piece, which we'll get to here down the road, but building that client relationship in that one-on-one setting, which is a lot easier than say a big group, right? So like, I think that's a big benefit. Now,
every initial consultation is 90 minutes.
Wow. 90 minutes.
Getting in depth, making sure we're covering lifestyle as well as exercise goals. Because most of the time when people are just tired and confused and they're just trying to hammer down a workout thinking it's going to improve everything, but their sleep is not right, their nutrition, their hydration, their, you know, we do blood analyzation with some clients to make sure that we're aligning with their doctor. And that leads in to way better health through the entire workout.
You guys definitely deep dive into all aspects of health, not just the working out piece, which I think is great, right? Like, so with that being said, man, how are you able to market your service to get more people in this door? How has that looked so far in this first year of business?
Yeah, in the first year, I plan to only use referral. It does keep it a lot easier for me to get to know clients if I already know the person that referred them. It's much easier to bring them into the model and say like, hey, you're going to sit down with me for 90 minutes when somebody they truly trust and they know brings them to me and like, okay, we can trust this guy and I'll give him my time. And I'll give him my money eventually to have him train. But that's the marketing strategy so far, which my factor of two is always a new client brings in two referrals. My goal is to sign one of those referrals up. Nice. So it's a compounding interest that'll get me to about the 40 to 50 client mark. At the 40 to 50 time, I'm going to reevaluate and see how much investment I can put into marketing. For more of programming coaches and other people I'm going to bring on staff.
So yeah, definitely focused on organic growth initially, right? Word of mouth, say referral piece. Is there any way you're able to like systematize the referral piece to make it even better? I know you said you get trying to go two referrals per client, like incentivize it or systematize it. You know what I'm saying? Make it even better. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of what we talk about with OPEX in our coach meetings is you just do daily conversation. There's no email blast that I want to send out to sound like, the corporate a-hole that's going to always push out and go like, hey, I need more money, need more people, need more money, need more people. It's always like, hey, you were talking about Sandy in your office, right? That she asked you about your workouts. How'd that conversation go? And it just organically comes from that. And it that doesn't sound like a true system, but it does slip from now on time and again. Forget to ask certain questions, and that's a big part of the systemization of bringing in more referrals, is you just have to ask those questions and break down those walls to make sure they're having the conversations to bring you more referrals.
Makes sense. And super driven with that relationship building and helping that and keeping it organic, right, and real and authentic. And not being, like you said, when you're coming from that corporate background where you've seen the corporate fitness side of things and the bad part of that,
I've seen how much it muddies the water with the conversation. You start somebody with, hey, you're going to get everything 50% off today.
Yeah.
That's what the conversation lends to versus, well, why are you actually here? And if I can get to that conversation of why we're actually here, what can I actually help you with? And it's not a conversation of price and the deal or the special, then it's much easier to help people get to that starting point.
Sure. Yeah. It makes sense for sure. Now with the OPEX client that you're attracting, Mitchell, what does that look like? Is there a demographic that seems to be coming in, an age group? What is the person that you're attracting at this point in time?
Yeah. My primary client is 35 to 50, 55. Typically medical or military is my bread and butter. We are a military town USA with an Air Force base and Army base in the city. Also, we have a huge medical center. A lot of my referrals come from nursing and doctors that are in the healthcare field and have the money to spend on personal training as well. So I'm looking around to market to $100,000 households, established families. Secondary client being more males in the professional field, like sales, corporate, that kind of stuff. They're sitting at desks all day. They maybe own their own business. And then my tertiary client comes from sports like jujitsu, martial arts, and stuff that I'm involved with.
I like that, man. And we're a little higher ticket price than say a CrossFit or an Orange Theory, that sort of thing. So obviously great to know who we're attracting to. So then we down the road when we do go and market inorganically,
you aim at everything, you hit nothing.
Exactly.
That's what I have for marketing. Yeah. So if you're aiming directly at somebody, you're going to hit that target.
1,000%. I love that. I'm going to steal that quote, man. That's good. I like that. So, so we know we're getting people in the door, kind of who our client is. You know, retention's a big part of this game, obviously, especially if we're not looking to get 5,000 clients in the door. So over this first year, man, is every client staying? Are you seeing a trend to the life cycle of somebody? What does the first year of retention look like for you with your clients?
Yeah, retention percentage I track. I'm really obsessed with it coming from the corporate side. Yeah, 97% has been my retention. Yeah.
Awesome.
The only clients I've lost have been due to distance and job changes. So one of them I actually flipped into remote recently. So my percentage came back up. I was never willing to do remote, but for her, I will. But the retention piece is big as far as checking up on a monthly basis. And again, that daily conversation that happens with every workout.
Conversation's big, checking in. So you have a remote just with one client? Are you looking to grow that part of the business or just kind of here and there?
I'm taking it at experimental phase right now. I have two family members that live in other states that knew they know me as a resource for coaching. So they're kind of my guinea pigs.
Right.
To check how I want to do that, because I've been a one-on-one coach in person my whole career and I've never done remote. So they're going through that with my other client that's remote as well. But the biggest piece about retention is that monthly meeting and checking back on their primary goal. A lot of coaches like to just, all right, let's just check your weight and all right, talk to me about how we're eating and then see you later. It's an hour sit down, reestablishing what we talked about the last meeting and hey, what pieces are we moving forward? And then I also added in with more clients, I get less contact. So I do a weekly check-in as well through the app that they fill out by themselves on a certain day of the week.
Yeah. I love the check-ins. I think it's huge. And using the metrics, like you said, you guys use to show they are improving, getting healthier, getting fitter, and not just the fitness piece, but everything else, which is awesome. Mitchell, with like the individual approach, man, are you able to do any events to kind of make it, to build that community within your OPEX gym?
Yeah, that's the plan. As my revenue comes, like I'm starting to actually make money in this month and next month. So the plan is to reinvest into some events outside of the gym. Nice. We have like 5 to 8 people at max in a workout. So everybody's getting to know each other. And like I said, there's layered referrals. So it's always kind of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. They know somebody that knows somebody in the gym already. So we're planning some events here at the end of July and somewhere towards the end of the summer and into the next school year where we're going to do once monthly hangouts with all the members.
Yeah. I always found those go, you know, long way with retention and building community and people making friends and those stay longer guaranteed, man. So I love also
want, like my 5 a.m. people to meet my 7 p.m. people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, cross paths. I want them to share their experience and more love comes from that.
Training in the same place. We have the same coach, you know, like awesome if we can connect.
All talk mess about the coach. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
And that's I'm the great. Worst person at the party when all my clients are there. Yeah,
exactly. So, which is a terrific, man. Now, so I know the model is already, I want to say higher ticket, right, than your traditional like group training. So, but maybe lower ticket than if you're just doing one-on-one, like you said, it's your old space. So like, are there ways that you guys can ascend members so they are spending more money on top of that regular membership?
Yeah. So, with the conversation of starting somebody, we talk programming and longevity in the programming. And I build a year macro cycle that I discuss with them during that first consult after they've done their physical assessment, I can then program for them. And through that programming conversation, I'm like, here's our year outlook. And you usually get saucerized, like, how much is that going to cost me? It's like, we're going to do that on a monthly basis and we're going to adjust where we need to, but we're going to commit for these 12 months. And we're going to put the work in. So let's put a commitment down and let's put a contract in it. And so everybody signs up with a 12-month contract. And whenever we're moving towards the next year, the conversation just goes to, hey, to renew this, we're not going to do a sign-up fee. We're just going to bump you up 10% or whatever we determine at that time that's going to help build the revenue after.
I do like that. So you guys have contract 12
months. Like I'm going to commit a year to you. Yeah. You commit a year to me. At the end of that year, let's have a new discussion on where we want to move forward. And what I hear, I haven't gone through that yet, obviously, because I'm in my first year, but I'm getting a lot of information and mentorship through other OPEX owners on how to approach that conversation at the beginning and at the end of the 12-month contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think contracts add accountability for both parties, for us as coaches and for the client, right? And then, I'm all for a yearly increase. Everything else goes up. You know, if we're still doing a good job, we should too. Now, you said you guys do like an initial getting started fee, for lack of better words?
That depends on the client. Most of them will sign up with the membership after the first initial consultation ready to pay monthly.
Got it.
People that don't know me as well, say they're a referral of a referral, they do what's called our experience program, which is just 4 weeks at the slightly discounted price of $300. Yeah. Normal membership price is $325. They pay $300 for 4 weeks as a trial. That's not going to lock them into a contract. So they get to opt out after that 4 weeks, which nobody has yet, thankfully.
Yeah. Now, how do you guys, so like, I know we're doing some hard movements sometimes. How does that initial like getting started process work? Where say I just coming off the street and I have no idea what the hell's going on, right? Like how to do a split squat or, you know, what have you, kettlebell swing. How do you walk those new clients, Mitchell, through that process?
Yeah, that's the 3 assessment process that OPEX built that made me fall in love with the OPEX process because I was always rushed through sales at corporate clubs where it's like, no, you got to sell them in 30 minutes and get them to their coach, like get them out. But the 90-minute consultation is more about lifestyle and schedule and like what we need to improve upon and what their priorities are. and then linking those priorities to the goals. But when you get to the assessment phase, the actual physical assessment, it's a body move and work is what we call it. So the body is getting body fat percentage and linking that to their nutrition and what their goal is there and making sure they're just at a healthy weight and what the healthy weight would be. And then we do move, which is a movement assessment of just set movements that I have for everybody that are very basic, like how good are we getting to overhead position? What are our issues in squatting? Are we our hips off balance? There's pretty simple movements, and then core stability we test as well. So side plank, front plank, reverse plank. Once those movements are all down, we can easily link that into programming and go, okay, these are the things we're going to start with. And then we'll layer on top of those skills. And, you know, like owning a CrossFit gym in the past, I'm sure you've seen like deadlift links into cleans and snatches, right? Like you make those through lines through programming over time, which is simple to do if you're doing it at a very consistent basis.
Sure.
But then we do a work assessment, which is a 10-minute assault bike test that nobody likes. 10-minute max calories. And I give little instruction. I just tell them, like, here's how the bike works. Here's what muscles we're working. And I don't want to tell them how they should feel. I don't want to tell them what the goal is, anything like that. I'm at that point just observing how they attack that workout. Because if somebody goes like, I'm just going to chill here the whole time, it's like, we have no concept of what their endurance is, right? They just want to stay.
Right.
And then you've got the meatheads that like crush the first 2 minutes and then die. Yeah. For the next eight. And so that observation, not necessarily how many calories they get. I do get some information of like, okay, what was their average wattage and their max wattage and how many calories they got. That's the, you know, the BS information you don't really need. What you really need is how they mentally and physically attack the workout.
Yeah. That's I don't think there's a better test than putting somebody on a assault bike for 10 minutes, man. Like, it'll definitely measure where their mindset is at and their mentality and effort 1,000%.
Right? Yeah. And rarely do you see somebody completely blow out 100% on an air bike test unless they're very experienced.
Yeah.
But that's why we do the test, is to see where their mindset is with cardiovascular. Yeah.
I remember my first time on an assault bike. I have the Echo bike nowadays, but same idea. Pretty hellish. You know, like 10 minutes, you're not used to that. Yeah, hello. You're going to – but, I mean, for mindset and mentality.
I like it, but it's my favorite test outside the movement, just because little to no experience with most people that join a gym on how to attack their cardiovascular system, and we set them into a good rhythm after that test, and it's really fun to see.
Awesome, man. I love it. And so last couple of questions for you, Mitchell. With we kind of touched on this already, but like, the biggest opportunity you're looking to seize on here in the next 6 months to a year is getting to that client number, right? Is that the main thing? What's your sole focus right there?
Yeah, sole focus is 40 to 50 members. After that is going to be growing more coaches and better coaches.
Right.
But the focus is getting there with autonomous clients and little friction within the business. So a lot of it's just practicing.
Yeah.
Am I able to do the volume right? Through this next year? And so by the end of this year, I'm meeting that goal, and then we're going to move on to developing better coaches after that with growing clientele as well.
Yeah. Now with your space, 2000 square feet, are you ever going to foresee a place where you have to move to a bigger space, or are you going to want to stay in this size?
100%. Yeah. I wanted to sign a 3-year lease, ended up with a 5-year lease. So we're going to, I'm sure we're going to play some fun games, but I have a friend that owns a gym actually like across the highway.
Nice.
And he operates with 80 clients in half the space. So I'm pretty confident with his experience.
Yeah.
I can kind of steal some tricks with him and how he fits all of his members in, because he runs a similar type model to OPEX.
Okay.
The individual design. So the goal is to move into twice the amount of square footage.
Yeah.
But with real estate is now, I'm kind of happy I signed 5 years.
Yeah, I think you're in a good spot, man. I think it's going to be I think the next 2 years at least is going to be a ride. Interesting for sure. So, I think
hopefully I get to catch it on the downturn again.
Exactly. Yeah, you timed it well here. So, I wouldn't move if you didn't have to right now for a little bit.
Especially but, commercial real estate after COVID, I think we caught it at the right time when we did. But
agreed. Agreed, man. Which is, timing's big, right? Timing is and bit of success, especially initially. It's huge.
So, I'm going to talk about opening up after COVID. Like my buddy that I talked about, he opened a year before. So
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, timing is everything, right? Especially in this game. So, yeah, Mitchell, I appreciate you, man, coming on today. I think it's a perfect place to wrap this up. Where can listeners check you out? OPEC San Antonio. Where can we find you? Website, social media, all that good stuff.
OPEC.SA on Instagram, Facebook, OPEC San Antonio, and as well as OPECSanAntonio.com is where I have everybody reach out for consultations. All my personal information is on there to reach out. Don't blow my phone too much, but yeah, come on at me if you're in San Antonio. And if you're a coach in the area as well, I always love to help other coaches in the business, no matter where they're at. So the pulse on all the coaching in San Antonio and like to build that community too.
Yeah, that's an awesome thing to do. I love it, man. I'll give you guys a follow here once we get off. But Mitchell, thanks so much, brother. Wish you the best of luck, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you too, Austin. Thank you.
You got it. Listeners, we appreciate you guys as well. Please hit like and subscribe to be notified for future episodes. And until next time, Gym Lords, we are out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Mr. Zach Lucas of Fit Nation. Zach, what's going on, sir? How are you today?
I'm great, man. This is a great Wednesday, ready to rock.
Yeah, can't start a day better than a nice little podcast getting to talk about the baby that you created. Here we are. Fit Nation is obviously the crux of our conversation today. For people who aren't yet familiar with the branding or the business, give us a quick rundown. What is Fit Nation? What is this about?
So Fit Nation, yeah, we're a boutique studio. We fall into the boutique space, F45, OTF, CrossFit, you know, boutique. And we derived our product from a training one-on-one experience where most trainers, when you meet our clients, when they meet a trainer, they really are looking for what we would call complete personal training. So we're a group training concept. Most of our members work within groups of four, small groups of four, and a larger group of up to 40. Our large classes could be up to 40. A little bit different is that we program from the moment they walk in, they meet a coach. So every single member sits down, meets with a coach, and then they are put into one of four programs called Learn, Active, Build, or Burn. So it's called lab programming. That member is then programmed their macros. So if they're a burn customer, they'll be in a deficit, of course. If they're a build, they'll be in a build program, a caloric surplus and a nutrient surplus. And then their loads, their reps, their sets, heart rate monitors, technology, our in-body, all of their technology that's set up for their workouts are designed around lab, learn, active, build, burn. We put them on the in-body machine. We get starting measurements, just like you would if you were a personal trainer. So very different than a lot of group training companies. I just get started. I walk in, I work out. That doesn't happen at Fit Nation. They come here and we treat them just like a personal training client. We do parkues, injury reports, and then they're put into that program. And every single month we follow up that appointment with Learn, Active, Build, or Burn, what we call a reprogram. And they get 30 minutes with the coach. We put them back on in-body. We see their results. We reprogram their nutrition, reprogram their macros. So overall, we're a complete personal training program that has just figured out a way to group Learn, Active, Build, or Burns together in a large group training setting. And the coaches are watching heart rate monitors. We're watching loads. We're watching reps. We're watching sets. We consider ourselves a little bit more more on the personal training side as they're running around the room. We're watching the 5 points of the kinetic chain, and FIT stands for functionally intense interval training. So we revise the HIIT to take, yes, we want it high. Yes, we want intervals. And yes, we want to train them, but most importantly, function and form first. If they're not moving correctly, then we'll have some problems later down the road, right? And especially as we increase intensity in the intervals that somebody might be working with. So it's coach-led class, but we really tried to keep as much of the one-on-one basics that we could. And of course, it's super fun, right? The F always stands for fun. And in group training, what more can you have? What more can you ask for that culture of fun, you know?
Yeah. And so the real differentiator for personal training has always been that personalized nature. You've just found a way to scale and apply that in a more group setting to be able to help a greater crowd of people than you would if it was one-on-one traditionally. Take us back, Zach. I wanna hear a little bit about how this whole thing got started. When did the idea spark in your head? Not the day that we opened the doors. When did the idea spark in your head? We can make this business a reality. And how long was that from idea to doors opening, concept readiness?
Yeah, it's interesting because we were always one-on-one companies, one-on-one. We pushed all the way from my 10 years at 24 Hour to Pure Fitness, 7 years. We were one-on-one. When the crash in the market happened in about 2008-09, the recession came, we started to notice a decrease in one-on-one training rapidly. And so one of the trainers at I was the vice president of the company, one of the trainers recognized, like, what if I put together like this Metcon class, just metabolic conditioning? That was the original thing that he did. And long story short, Metcon started saving people at like $99 a month rather than what they were paying, 50, 60, 70 bucks an hour. And we just started to have to move equipment out of the gym. It was a normal gym, just like move the treadmills and move stuff around to make this open space. And as that space grew, it eventually grew into the basketball court. And then we were like, hey, well, what do basketball pay? They pay 29. These guys are paying 99. Like, the financials made sense to go, hey, no more basketball. We're going to make this group training room. And we sold that company. And one of the guys that was there, along with my partner that was at the owner of Pure Fitness, they went into business and they created a group training concept. And it was kind of before the big guys that, I mean, CrossFit was crushing it at the time, but we saw us as a competition to them because we've always decided to keep our one-on-one roots. We've always decided that the other 23 hours a day of a member's life matters more than the 3 to 4 hours they're going to see me. So even if I go to one of the other big chain boutiques, all they do is work me out and I leave. What's the macro conversations? How much protein am I getting? What are my actual results? And so what we realize is that member lifetime value, that person stays shorter and shorter and shorter, especially if I come in next door. Because they realize they pay the same price for me. I'm in the same price point as all my competitors. The only difference is I'm going to give way more. It's this giving mentality of recognizing the real true way that people get to their fitness results is not just through exercise, cardio, and resistance training. It's really through a lifestyle change. That's mentality. That's their consciousness. That's their food choices. It's all of it, right? And so we didn't want to lose who we were. So that's where this business started. We ended up building a couple locations there. My partner there wanted to stick with his one, and I wanted to go change the world. Yeah. And that's what
we partnerships usually go. Sort of diverging of mindsets, at least. So here we are, right? Business has certainly grown since that time. Three locations currently. What's the vision here? What's the big picture? You say change the world. Give me some specifics here, Zach.
Yeah, so we believe that Fit Nation is definitely a franchisable product. We're still in the proof of concept phase. My partners and I will probably do 10 to 12 stores. We have 3 under construction, again, more right now. We look for new sites every day in the right markets. So we'll have 6 up open by the end of the year, 10 to 12, maybe even 15 corporate stores. We do a very unique model where the general managers of our store can buy in shares from the very beginning, or they can earn vesting of our shares and become partners with us in ownership. So We really look for people that want to run their own business, you know, like entrepreneurs, and treat it like their own. So that's our goal. Our goal is 12, 15, 20. At that point in time, we would either be looking at franchising, which we franchised our last business after about 40 or 50 locations. I know some go a lot less and then they franchise. For us, it's a lot. I think we were really thinking of 10 to 12 stores, corporate stores, and then start to franchise, or we'll invite VC money in and at that point in time, let them decide the nature of the business for the future. Sure. And how they would like to grow it.
Sure. So up in the air, but leaning towards franchise route, at least as I'm understanding it.
Yeah.
Walk me through sort of the growth trajectory here. Obviously, in a short amount of time, we've been able to get to at least three and a handful under construction. And so that suggests to me that we have a fairly decent acquisition process in place. What's the marketing been like? Where are we putting our dollars in order to attract new leads and eventually members?
Yeah, good point. So when we do a pre-sale, our goal is to open with 500 members within the first 30 days. So we fell short a little bit of that in our last two, just due to, I think, COVID. And then there was a second wave of it, of course, right when we were opening our second one, where we just couldn't get away from that COVID mark. So we're sitting more closer to grand opening, more like 350. 400 is our minimum number we pay our bills way earlier than that, but 400 is our financial number. 500 is our sweet spot. So
is that capacity for the locations?
You know, some of them 400 is, some of our studios are very big. So yeah. Right now my largest is 5,400, but I'm in the process of building a 9,000 and a 7,000 square foot club where I've designed about 1,000 to 2,000 square feet of that to be one-on-one training as well, so that we have a lot more, a little bit more space outside group training. So like in the studio behind me, if 40 people show up, there's nowhere to one-on-one train. It's all dedicated to group training. So with our larger locations, with recovery zones and cryo and bringing in, you know, Theraguns and just a lot of the compression chairs, we're going to start our overall love and is overall wellness, right? Taking care of people on both ends. And so it's not just killing them in a workout, it's helping them recover with nutrition, food, and recovery items. So, our goal, our marketing is, we usually spend up to $10,000 a month for the first 3 to 4 months. We tell everybody in the market who we are, what we're doing. That's through paid sponsored ads. You know, a lot of it is obviously social. That's paid off very, very well through Instagram and Facebook. We do have hired a little bit more targeted companies for direct mail. I thought direct mail was dead. I have relearned.
Still viable, yeah.
It's probably not, as long as you can get the data that you need and the households that you need for the potential members and do a little bit more specifically direct neighborhood and lookalikes to who your members are. And then radio, TV ads will do a lot in the markets. We do a lot. If there's beer fest, if there's, you know, just local, we'll spend up $10,000 a month. We usually back it down to closer to 4 to 5 as a running facility.
After opening?
After opening, and we'll spread that. Mostly, we still focus on a lot of the Instagram, Facebook. As of now, it's been paying off. You know, we change with the times. We hire out for those sources. Although I do a lot with the marketing, advertising. We have three different companies that we work with, one for actually handling the social media, the ads. We have, we pay a company to actually manage my social media organic pages too, because believe it or not, I mean, they're just specialty items. They're badass at doing it, right? And we have set up systems to get them content every single day that they're posting. Our manager still posts some content, but so we do, obviously, marketing advertising through an agency. It's something that we wouldn't take on our own at all.
Yeah. And so a number of sources, right? Any conversation that we have about marketing needs to rely on the fact that it's not one tool, right? We have multiple tools in the toolkit to accomplish the job. And social media is a huge part of that. To your point, direct mail, still a viable source, finding some efficacy there. Organic social has been a big push for you. We have all of these different sources. When somebody reaches out to you, interested, we've got a lead, What is the typical sales process? You sort of alluded to it already. They come in, they've got this full-on assessment that happens. But how are we getting them in? How are we getting them scheduled? And who are they meeting with throughout that process?
Yeah, so we require, we build a lot of urgency with our appointments, and we require 30-minute onboarding sessions. So right now we run a 7-day pass as the hook. We have no problems with people coming and trying out our product. I know a lot of companies try a 1-day or a 2-day. We have no problems proving to our members who we are. I would say that 80% of those people flip on what we call an FVI, first visit incentive. We get a big hook, 7-day pass, and then we do huge incentives to start off because our member lifetime value is really long. So we're okay with the cost to acquire being relatively equal, up and equal to a month of $150 to $200. I have no problem paying $200 to get a member that's going to pay me $1,800, right? So it sounds like member either drops into our landing pages or through social media. Our goal was in within 5 to 10 minutes, they're on the phone, text, email, some form through our CRM, and we're communicating with them, right? We know the studies that show up to a 900% increase in conversion if we're literally talking to that person within 5 minutes of the lead coming in. So we're all of our general managers, including me as the owner, we all get hit with a ding, ding, somebody just reached out, right? Whether it's a TI, we have telephone inquiry, we have sales process. We are tight on our sales processes, especially as we've learned that our goal is to grow and to scale. In order to scale, it has to be replicatable, and it has to be replicatable fast. So we have our systems that they would, an automated system that is managed. We use a company called VFP, Virtual Fitness Planner. All of that is automated. That member gets an email and a text immediately saying we'll be reaching out. And then they can book online. Of course, they could book their 7-day pass online as well. We send that link, but we do require a 30-minute onboarding session so that we can talk about what our studio is, show them our studio, walk through their ailments, you know, a park you, walk through, you know, who we are. At that point, usually it's also booked with a follow-up workout. So we're always trying to book that workout. We close 8 out of 10 if they try our class.
Yeah.
We're about 50 to 60.
Assuming that they're going to convert from their schedule right. The second one. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So we really want to convert about 50% ideally of the members we talk to into a book show close, you know, a book show appointment. And then if they actually try our class, we're about 8 out of 10 right now. So conversion overall, if we get, you know, 100-125 leads, which is our goal for the month, you know, 40 to 50 members, some of our studios do up to 66. Obviously this is a mature club, not a grand opening. Grand opening can be way more than that.
But
yeah, our overall conversion, if we get a lead, you know, 30 to 40%. So we need about 125 leads a month. Sure. And we work those sources backwards from there. So if Instagram gives me 30, Facebook gives me 40, you know, Google AdWords gives me 20, 30, then we've got 50 to make up through referrals, on-sites, corporates, you know, the local schools, community, whatever.
With all of this being said, Zach, in the sales and marketing funnel analogy here, lead gen up at the top, like we already covered much of what you do there. We've got a number of sources. The nurture process, it sounds like somewhat automated and a little bit manual with genuine human interaction built in there. Sales process, you say dialed in, cleaning up as many efficiencies as we can to convert 8 out of 10. For you, as you look at that acquisition process, where do you think you do have room for improvement, or where is your focus on building a better machine here moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we could get better at scaling. We recently, we recently let go of the Instagram, Facebook company, our social company. We really just felt like the content they were putting out was not in alignment with our brand. And we just fought over it for months and months and months. And then eventually we just found the conversion rate to be extremely low, considering we're pretty good at sales. Our teams are really good. I say we could grow at people. people post COVID and hiring, training, and developing and getting the right people into the business that understand the sales process, but want to do that sales process, that want to get somebody on the phone and talk to them about overall health, wellness, and fitness, right? We could always get better at that. And I would just say the overall content, Joe, I mean, it's just not, it has not, it, we get from inside of our studio, we provide a lot of the content, but what gets shown out in the social media world, I can't even tell you how many times I've called my company and say, stop those ads. That does not represent my brand. You know, it's one time a guy jumping on a box jump that was like 37 and 38 inches high. I'm like, well, 70% of my females join my club and they probably are horrified to see a box jump. So
it's not helping.
You wouldn't want, I mean, to even tell a marketing company that is like, this is an absolute waste. You don't know anything about what we do. Like, that's not, so I think we can get better with that for sure.
Yeah. I think you're not alone. I think the world of marketing agencies, whether it's a fitness agency or not, has to connect with the story that you're trying to tell as a business, right? Good marketing should turn people away just as often as it does pull the right people in. And to your point, if we're attracting the wrong kind of person and not attracting the actual person that we want, we're going to run into some trouble here down the road. So an interesting conversation. I think hiring and staffing is a rabbit hole that could take us in another entire interview here. So we'll save that for another conversation, Zach. But
here's one thing I would tell you. Here's one thing I tell you that we could get better at. We could get better at learning from our marketing advertising company what's hot, what's working, right? Social media, we don't like what videos they need. You want testimonials? Great, we'll shoot that testimonial, right? What do you want that testimonial to say? What is the buzzwords in there that's firing post COVID, right? Like, is it like, we don't know. We have experience in book show close, selling PT and coaching, selling clients. They get in here. It's how do we get them to see our ad, respond to the stuff going out, the sales process. And then again, once they're in there, we got them. We would probably need more help with our content going out to tell the story of Fit Nation better. I find that we haven't nailed that down yet.
Yeah, but I think that's why, not you guys, but fitness in general is so just generally jaded by the idea of outsourcing advertising, because you think that you're paying for good data, this information that is going to help you and take you to the next level. But fitness is ever changing, especially post-COVID. The rules of the game are totally different. And so what works now is far and vastly different than what worked 2019, 2018, 2010, back in the heyday of Facebook ads getting $5 leads. So an interesting conversation nonetheless. Zach, I wanna explore, you already sort of gave us an idea of where this business is trending, potentially the franchise route, potentially the VC route. But here, give me a little bit more short term. You mentioned 10 to 12 stores kind of being that decision point. What's the timeline of that? When do you think you'll be at that, here's where we need to make a choice?
Yeah, I think I'll have these three open by just January 1st. So 2023, we'll be at six. By the end of 2023, December, going into 2024, we'll probably be at least at nine, possibly 10. We have a lot of other sites that we currently own. Like I think we talked about, was my partner owns about 5 million square feet of real estate. Yeah. And we aren't limited by the locations. I would tell you that Fit Nation is limited by people. We have really slowed the brakes, recognizing that if it was me running every store, we'd be at 500, 600, no problem, right? You walk into a studio, you've got it. It just boom, 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 boom. Here's the phone calls. Here's a member, high five, and let's go teach class, right? Like, but we are limited by people.
The true challenge, we need to find a way to clone you. Is
well, isn't that really leadership, right? Like, you know. So I have, and I did it a lot better at big box gyms. What I and owning my own studios, what I am finding is that you with only 6, 7, 8 employees max, right? Like we actually have 4 or 5 coaches, some are part-time, some are full-time, a general manager, a head coach, you know, the culture of that store can be really, really good, but it can go bad fast. And if you're not there, right, you're not the owner. I actually recently just did a podcast talking about growth and how we grew the 50, 60 stores. Well, we grew them because we were deep. I mean, we could pull from internal and they had our culture. And when I built my next one, it was cookie cutter. They had our culture. They bled our business, our brand. Starting a brand new company, we have some of that culture, but yeah. We're also building. We didn't decide to cluster in like where I'm at in the Phoenix market. I didn't cluster 10 stores here. I have Flagstaff, California, Montana up. I'm building Boise, Albuquerque, and Vancouver. So we have been able to pull some of our GMs and move, but the multiplication, duplication process to go cold into a brand new location where nobody knows who Fit Nation is, the people depth chart is what's slowing Fit Nation down. We'll pick it up. So once we
it's a slow burn, I think.
Yeah, once we get to a little bit more 6, 7 stores, and we've got some assistant managers, we've got some assistant coaches, then we'll start being able to pluck and move a little faster. And the other thing about the 10 to 12 locations that'll pick it up faster is we've decided to stick within those markets. So now we'll start clustering, like our California store, we're building 15 miles away. So we already have our GM that will pre-sale that store ready to go.
Yeah, so we're just going to pick it up.
Yeah, we'll pick it up. And then as we obviously go into franchising, we'll sell, you know, locations across the country that other studio owners might want to say, hey, thanks for going through the pain of building the first 12. And then I just want to, and we already have a laundry list of people that is saying, how do I buy a Fit Nation? How do I build a Fit Nation? We're just not there yet. We're just not there without building a corporate store that they are somehow involved in. We're not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tremendously exciting conversation. I think we caught you right at the perfect time to pick your brain on a lot of these things, because they're still in the works, but very much momentum generated. So Zach, that's a fantastic place for us to start to wrap this conversation up. For people looking to learn a little bit more about Fit Nation in general, what's the best website? What's the best social media? Where can we send people?
Yeah, fitnation.com, simple website. And then Instagram and Facebook, we actually use the location. So Fit Nation, Flagstaff, Fit Nation, El Dorado Hills. And I always remind people to use 2 I's, because fit is not FIT, it's FIIT.
FIIT, make sure. So everybody listening today, connect with Zach and the Fit Nation team on the platforms that he just mentioned. Zach, I tremendously appreciate your willingness to contribute here and share a little bit of the insight into what's going well, but also where we're still working. So I can't thank you enough for your time. I wish you nothing but the best in this expansion. And it sounds like you still have plenty of fire left in you. So we'll certainly be watching from the sidelines.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. To everyone who tuned in today, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you'd like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Jim Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's 4 ways we can help you grow your gym for free. 1, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. 2, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. 3, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. 4, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.